Let's turn to 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy. We are picking it up in chapter 1, verse 13. In verses 8 through 12, the things that were mentioned in there, oh, how critical that thought is to embrace and to just hang on to the idea that Paul puts forth there regarding the gospel in verse 12, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that would be something that would be resounding in every believer and something that we want to hang on to. We know that the gospel has the power to change lives. Man, that's so important to remember, to think on, to contemplate, that the God's word changes lives. It not only changed our lives initially, when we think of when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, not only did it change my life, not only did it change your life, when you first said yes to Jesus, and you said, yeah, I get it. You know, I don't understand that much, but I get enough to know that I'm a sinner and I need salvation. I need hope. I need help. And we opened our lives up to the Lord. And it was the word of God that was spoken to us. Somehow we heard it, whether it was through the internet or through a radio program or through a friend that was just talking with us, or you just started showing up at church and started hearing the Bible. That's the importance of why we want to spend time going through the word, because the word is what changes our lives. Man, it is the thing that cuts down and separates the heart and intent of everything that goes on inside of us, and it really discerns what's going on, and we're able to open up. It gives us hope. You know, in, I believe it's 1 Peter, Peter talks about that we've been born again not by corruptible seed. So the first initial birth, when we're born, we've been, you know, because of our parents and their relationship, and now but that's corruptible seed in the sense that we're going to die in the physical sense. But that we have been born again, then he goes on to say, by that incorruptible word. The word of God that's incorruptible. What a powerful thing to think about, the incorruptible power of God's word. And that's what we've been born again into, the family of God, through the seed of the incorruptible word of God that's been spoken to us as we receive it. Faith comes by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the word of God. So that's what grows our faith. So not only do we come to initial faith by hearing the word of God, but we not only are we born again that way, but we also grow. Our faith is nurtured as we hear the word of God and go through the word of God. And Paul says, man, I am not ashamed of that truth. That's what he's talking about when he says that. I'm not ashamed of that. I know it has the power to change the known world. You know, and I think that the idea really is for all of us every day, we kind of know this in our hearts and our minds as believers, right? We've kind of embraced that. But the reality is, man, do you live that? Paul is sitting in prison. He's in a dungeon situation. This is not house arrest. This is nasty incarceration. This is a bad situation, awaiting ultimately a trial that leads to his beheading, that he's going to die. And he kind of knows that he's at the end of the runway here, so to speak, that his life is going to terminate. This is the note that he decides, this little letter he sends off to Timothy. So that's what we're reading, is that kind of a communication. Think about it. What would you be talking about if it was your last note you're penning to someone? Someone that you love, someone that you've entrusted the work of the Lord to in some of the endeavors that you've been in. What would you want to communicate to them? Well, we have it right here. I think we'd want to communicate some of the same things. And he says, man, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't you think Jesus would speak that to our lives today? If he were to walk in, don't you think the Spirit would minister that to us today? Not to be ashamed of the truth, of the power of God that changed our lives, that gave us new hope and new life in Jesus Christ. So then in verse 13, with that in mind, as we jump into this, he says, hold fast. Now, this is a nautical term. This is something they would know about. You know, stay on your course. Keep, hang on to what, you know, Think about it. You know, they're letting these sails up and stuff. You know, hang on. Hold fast. Don't deviate. Don't take unnecessary detours. Our world is full of unnecessary detours. I find that our world today is just that it is nothing but an endless detour out there, you know, from what God's purpose and plan is. And that's the enemy, his purpose, that. He set these things up, and strategically, he studied humanity. He watches all of us, and he just makes these little things just set up. And you know what? They're custom designed. Isn't that amazing? They're custom designed, just set up just for you, just set up for me to just detour. So what do we have to do? We have to guard. We have to hold fast. This is what, again, he's telling a man, the importance of not being ashamed of that power of God, the word of God that changed your life initially, that continues to develop your life as a believer. He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me, Paul says, in faith and love, which are in. And I love this. Paul doesn't use himself as the qualifier. He goes back to the source. Man, I believe in source document information. I think that is a great way to educate yourself. I think that's a great way to understand truth, is go right to the source. In our men's devotional, when we went out shooting, we talked about that, and we did some little excerpt out of the Sermon on the Mount. And we talked about that because of the significance of Jesus always said, you have heard it said. Because this is what they did. They quoted everybody else. That was their pattern of their world in which they quoted everybody else. You've heard it said. And then he says, but I say unto you, Jesus is the living word. You've heard all these other people say this, but he says, this is what I say. And he shows us this pattern of how we're to live in those few chapters in there. It addresses most everything question you would ever have, really. Worries and fears. He talks about that. He talks about your finances. He talks about your overall perspective of life in general. He addresses all of these things in those few chapters, and he kind of concludes, build on this foundation. That's his conclusion to it. Build on the rock. Jesus is the rock. Again, that's what we're talking about. This is what he's saying. That pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love. And he says, which are in Christ Jesus. That's so important. So when you and I have something of value we might want to communicate, we want to make sure that the source of that is in Christ Jesus. That it's not just something we flippantly come up with or that we think is a grand plan, a grand idea, but no, that it is based out of that relationship and the person of Christ Jesus. Faith and love. He says, man, this is the sound words and the pattern that you've seen, that you've heard. He says, this is how I've lived. I got this from Jesus. Man, he wants to transport that and get that into young Timothy's life, which is in his 30s somewhere. So that's young, everybody. We don't want to determine what's old. Let's keep moving. That good thing which was committed to you, this good thing, this the gospel itself, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. He says, man, that's how we keep it. We keep it guarded in the person of Jesus Christ and by the power of his Holy Spirit. You and I, according to the word, have been sealed in the spirit realm with the Holy Spirit. We're marked out in the spirit realm, identified as we belong to Jesus. Even though the enemy tries to come at us and put up all those little, side tours, you know, of distractions and different things, you know, that we could get us off track. Hold fast. Stay on that course that God's put you on. See this pattern of sound words which you've heard and faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And I think that's important that it is to be entrusted to you, but it is kept by the power of the Spirit. Thus, the importance of you and I walking in the Spirit. And not in the flesh. We walk in the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. We walk in the Spirit, we reap the things, the benefits of the Spirit. That's an important concept, walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And for me, usually that's a split-second decision that usually occurs. Usually. Sometimes there's thought and opportunity, but most of the time, it's pretty quick. Something comes up, something goes on. I have that moment. I'm either going to walk in the flesh or I'm going to walk in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And we have that opportunity to choose right then. It's kind of a fork in the road, isn't it? And definitely different outcomes I've found. One just causes a lot of conflict and confusion and issues, and it's the flesh. And then the other one is the peace and the goodness of God and trusting Him. Even in the midst of turmoil, as we trust God, there's peace. There's a sense of His presence as we worship today when we talk about His presence. It is true, there's nothing that compares to the presence of God. Nothing. Everything pales by comparison to that. And we seek that. We want that. We want to know Him in this way. We want to keep this good thing that was committed to us, the gospel. And He says, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me." These two individuals, you can read them. You know, I went over this earlier, and it went pretty good earlier, you know, while I was eating my oatmeal, you know. Those are tough pronunciations there. I think it's interesting how Paul just says, hey, man, these two guys were with me, and now they're not. He says, all those of Asia have turned away from me, among whom. He says, here's a couple of them, man. Can you believe it? These guys aren't even running with me anymore. Again, it goes back to this, being ashamed of Paul, being ashamed of the gospel, being ashamed of his chains. Hey, he's going to bring bad press on us. You know, we don't want to be associated with that. You know, that kind of a concept versus the simplicity of the gospel. And he says, man, just trust the Lord. Hey, some of these people have bailed out. You know that. Ultimately, when we get into this, you see Paul's heart and the despair, in a sense. He says, and when we get into this, he says, none stand with me. And then he says, but the Lord was with me. You ever been alone in a situation, a decision? Maybe an unpopular one? It usually gets you, starts right somewhere right in here, right in the pit of your being. The Bible kind of calls that the bowels, you know, in the King James Version. You know, the very gut of who we are. It kind of starts in there. It's kind of an emptiness sense. It kind of stirs up all the way up into your being. It's very unpleasant. But God, when He's in the midst of it, kind of starts to dispel that. And it just kind of, because we can trust Him, the Lord stands with us. I think that is so encouraging. So He says, in this situation, it's been difficult. And then He says, but in contrast, He says, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. He often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. I think that's great, isn't it? This guy was someone that was looked upon as, hey, this, in contrast, these other people bailed out on me. So I guess who is it? Who do you want to be? You want to be the kind of people that bail out? Or do you want to be the kind of people that are like this guy that say, no, look at what does he do? He refreshed and was not ashamed of the chains, of the bondage that Paul was in because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wasn't ashamed of that. And Paul says, man, may the Lord grant mercy to his household, to him and his household. And even when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. He says, this guy had a right heart for others. So I guess if you want to look at it in contrast, you see, the right heart of wanting to, by contrast, do things that are going to be refreshing, bring blessing. I like this, even in this, he sought me out very zealously. I mean, he looked around, he found out where Paul was and went in and ministered and encouraged him. Verse 1 of chapter 2, you therefore, my son, he says, because of these things, because you see a direct conflict, this conflict happening, and it's contrasting situations, right? And he says, because of that, you see what's going on. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. this strength that we have. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. And then he talks about it is perfected in sufferings. It's an interesting concept to think about, how it's perfected in the midst of sufferings. Because most of the time, you and I will spend a vast majority of our time trying to insulate ourselves from any type of discomfort or suffering. And it's true. But really, the reality is that's where we find ourselves strengthened and built up. Because it's kind of where we're forced, we're put in a situation where we have to stretch out and exercise in reality that faith that was imparted to us through the gospel. And so when our back's up against the wall, he says, really, strength is perfected in weakness in that way. God's grace is sufficient, and that strength is perfected in weakness. He says, then therefore, I would gladly boast in my weakness, Paul says. I would rather boast than in my weakness that strength would be perfected. And so I think when we get in these situations, and Paul is experiencing this right now, and he says, you therefore, because of these conflicts, because of these things that are going on, he says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That unmerited love and favor. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Man, what an important truth. You know what I find? It's sometimes we think, oh, well, I don't really know that much. You know, I don't know that much. So, you know, I don't really talk that much with other people about spiritual matters, you know, per se, because, you know, I really don't know that much about that stuff. And so I don't say much. Man, you know what? I have found whatever you know, if you know Jesus Christ, if you have a personal relationship with the Lord, you know a vast amount more than the mass of society around the world. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know a vast amount more than most people about God. So my thinking is this, is whatever you know, share it. Tell somebody about it. That's what I did. And I remember telling people apologetically, hey, you know what? I'm not really, you know, I just gave my heart to the Lord a few months ago and back to God, and I really don't know that much. You know, I'm not even really sure what all is going on right now, but I do know this. And I was very clear. I was this, and now I'm this. God changed my life because of the living word of God, because of his grace and his mercy. God changed my life. I was this, and now I'm this. There was a repentance and a transition and a transaction that happened in the spiritual realm where there was a living, viable, clear transition, change that took place. I was this, now I'm this. Now, I didn't know much else other than I knew that God loved me. I knew that God had a purpose and a plan. I knew that God wanted to do a work. If you know that much, you know a vast majority more than most all of humanity. Because most people don't know Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? Now, how many people that you talk to that say they're Christians, this is an interesting thing, and they will defend it because their grandparents helped build the structure around the corner, they were baptized at such and such an age, and all these, this whole list of things. I always push it, all of the keep pushing. You don't have to be a Bible thumper. You know that? You can get to the point. You can get to the point. So, but when did you get saved? When did you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Isn't that really the core of Christianity? All those other things are niceties. They're pleasantries, but they don't save anybody. And if I love people and I care about people, I want to push that to that end conclusion of when did you get saved? So everybody's a Christian, but they don't know the Lord. That's a problem. I'm not alone in this, right? We find this around us, right? This can be semi-interactive here. You know, we do find this to be true, right? This goes on around when you talk to people and you interact with them, of course I'm a Christian and they're nice, good people and all this. Jesus Christ challenged the rich young ruler who was exactly that person. He said, no, I'm a good guy. I've kept the moral code. I'm a good person. It wasn't enough, was it? He said, there's something you lack. There's something missing. In other words, you're off on a detour. You're missing this one thing. And it was the power, him allowing the power of God into his heart by the word to change his life. It's simple being born again. You're just missing that. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. He says, you've heard me teach these things many, many times. You've seen God work in this. Commit these, those things, the truth, the word of God, to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, I believe, my conviction, just so that we are absolutely 100% clear, I believe that's what goes on every week. Every week, right in here, a couple times a week, that's what's going on. The word of God is being transferred one to another. When you sit and read your devotions by yourself in the morning, that's what's happening. God is entrusting something to you. He's committing that to you. And that which has been committed to you, find outlet. Look for outlet. Talk to other people about what God's spoken to your heart. There are people that are very interested in what God's doing in your life. And a lot of times, one of the things that I find that holds us up from this a lot of times is our issues. That's no joke. Our problems. I've got this thing going on. I really don't have that kind of, you know, really totally taken care of in my life. I don't feel like I'm, you know, and so I'm not super Christian. I don't have all my ducks just lined up just perfectly. So I don't want to say anything to anybody so that they... Well, wait a minute. So you're trying to tell me that in order to talk to anybody about what's going on in your life with God, everything has to be just perfect and look just so. That's sometimes what gets in our minds, isn't it? What kind of hope are you going to give them when you're a perfect Christian, when you arrive at perfect Christian status, whatever that is, when you get there? Send me a letter. I've never gotten there, but send me a letter from there. But the idea is, the concept is we'll never get there. Paul the Apostle said, not that I've arrived, not that I've attained. I haven't got, that's not where I am. But one thing I do, there's one thing I pursue. One of the things that Paul really connected with was the fellowship of the suffering. Understanding that there is suffering that goes on. I think when you just work through some of this in your own heart, in your own mind, in your communication and interaction with other people, this trusting these things, God's trusting something to you. You can share it with other people. And the thing is we oftentimes feel like, well, if they look very close into my life, there's this out of order, this isn't quite right, because you know your own issues, you know your own struggles. And Satan is sitting, it's like the two, remember the cartoon, the one, you know, devil guy and the little angel person that sat on your shoulders, and they talk to, you know, they're one saying one thing in your ear, the other saying the other thing in your ear, and you're trying to work through, well, what should I do? Because the enemy's always saying, you're not good enough. Don't say anything. This will only expose other things. Don't do it. Just keep a lid on it. No. Look it. You can't show anybody super Christian because there's only one superhero in our story, and it's not you. I know that that's a big burst of the bubble of life, but the reality is it's not you. It's not me. All right, we got one superhero, and it's Jesus Christ. Risen. We have a living Savior who not only died for your sin, but died for the sins of the world. We've got a living hope. We've got something that's transferable. And that's what Paul is trying to say. Hey, this is something that's transferable. Make sure that you're a part of this in transferring this to other people. If we wait for super Christians to get arrive at that status, which we never will. And if we get there, we're only there in our minds. And if we are there in our minds, we're legalistic, and you've got nothing that's very transferable. The best thing you can do is, I have found more good happens in the gospel in the midst of the difficulties that we face than in any other time. I'm not sure I understand all the dynamic of all that. I do see it scripturally, I do see it historically, and I do find it personally to be true. That oftentimes when things aren't quite right, or we're going through a deep, dark, troublous trial in our lives, that somehow God is really moving in those times. Why? Because you know what? We got nothing else. We know we're all messed up. We know this is a difficult thing, and I'm fully long leaning back into the presence of the Lord, trusting God. That's when people see Jesus. And that's when people see and they say, wow, this person's got hope, and look at how messed up they are. You know? Now you're giving them something real that's tangible. It's not plastic Christian, you know? It's real Christian who's got real problems, real issues, and a real hope, and a real Lord, and a real Savior, and real everlasting life, you know? It's real. That's what we have to share, something that's real. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, and don't be ashamed of your issues. Everybody's got them. It can be used radically for the glory of God if you will just let it happen. Man, be strong in the grace. Now, you see the grace part of that? Be strong in the grace. Be strong in that. And then he says, man, those things that you've seen and know about, he traveled with Paul. He knew the grace that was in Paul's life. Verse 3, you therefore, because of that, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're going to experience, you and I as Christians are going to experience hardship, and we're to endure hardship. I like that he doesn't say to you or to me, hey, you know, try and do better and try to endure. He doesn't tell us just to try to. He says, you endure it. It kind of gives me hope a little bit, you know, because he just says, hey, no, you do this. You endure this. You therefore must endure hardship. And what's the idea? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then I like what he throws in verse 4 to kind of qualify this, or to kind of throw a little more things to think on. He says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. This idea of being enlisted into. I know that you and I, you know, oftentimes feel like we have a little bit more to do with our salvation than maybe we did. You know, we feel that way sometimes inside ourselves. We had a little bit more to do with that. Well, you know, I decided, you know, to follow God and everything. And, you know, I'm not saying that that didn't happen, but I also know the Bible says that God sought out you in the Spirit, and God looked for you, and God wants to have a relationship with you and with me. And that we responded, we just said yes to God. But God was, truthfully, God's the initiator in this. And he enlisted us into his army, soldiers, servants of the living God. We got enlisted by the Lord. We said yes to God, and the second you said yes to God, you got signed in. Your ladder, well, you wouldn't know this, a lot of you. Some of us would remember some of this. The lottery for being put into service was your number's up. You're going in. It's your turn. Now, the thing is sometimes we think, oh, well, I served in this area, or I helped in that area. I've done my time. Well, when you breathe your last, as far as God's concerned, then I guess you're done. Until then, you're still enlisted, and you're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says. I'm just an adherent to it. This is God's stuff. This is what he says about it. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Endure it. And then he says, look, I like this thing, though. He says, no one engaged in warfare. If you're involved in warfare, you do not involve yourself in the things of this world. You don't entangle yourself in those things. So we are a part of another kingdom, and we live here, but we're not to get too entangled in all this stuff going on around us here. Because eventually, what is it? That's where the detour starts to set in, where we started out. That's where the detour starts to set in. I start engaging myself and entangling myself in the affairs of this world, the things going on of this world too much, and I get sidetracked. You get sidetracked. We get sidetracked. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life. I don't think there's a whole lot of room in that he gives us. There's not a lot of wiggle room, is there? He says it straight up. No one doing this does that. You know, you talk with the soldiers while they're traveling, and some of you who have been served in the armed forces, you know how it works. That's what you're doing. You belong to the government in that sense, and you're done. They will tell you when to eat. They will tell you where to go and when to go. They'll tell you how to transport yourself there. They will tell you what clothes to wear while you're transporting yourself. They'll tell everything. That's what, and this is not different in their culture and time. This is the way it was, and they understood that. And so he's just saying, I belong to someone else. Boy, in our culture, that's hard to swallow, isn't it? We just don't, that's not our natural thinking. But that's what we are as Christians, soldiers in a very real battle. We're engaged in it, and we got to be aware of what's happening around us.